We're looking forward tonight to spend a brief time in the Bible. So turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm tonight speaking on the subject, faith's distinctives. We're talking about three things tonight that are distinctive traits of faith, of walking by faith. Three things that are true when we, as God's people, are walking the walk of faith. Three distinctives. Now, with your Bibles open at chapter 11 and beginning at verse 8 of the Hebrews chapter 11, let me begin reading verse 8, where it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Let's bow tonight for prayer. Our Father, thank you tonight for the blessing that we personally have of being able to be a part of this service this evening. And Lord, reminded by this great old song of the preeminent love that Jesus has for us. No one on the face of this earth can match that love that Jesus has. And we tonight that know you in forgiveness of sins know about that love personally. Now, Lord, this evening, as we pray, the names that's been mentioned, I think of Brother Richard tonight who's recovering. I think of Sister Misty and then of Homer. And then tonight I think of the family of this friend of our church here tonight who is grieving the loss of this dear person's passing. We pray for that family, you would comfort them. We pray, Heavenly Father, this evening that you'd minister grace to hurting, grieving hearts everywhere. We pray tonight for the terrible situation right now going on in the Eastern European country of the Ukraine. Thinking, Lord, of those precious, innocent people that are being slaughtered by that villain from Russia, and of how they're innocent and don't deserve to be going through this. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would deliver that country. And Father, I pray that you would defeat the efforts of Russia to try to overrun that country. I pray for the safety and protection of that president, who is such a courageous person along the line of even a Winston Churchill. And God, I pray that you'd protect him, and I pray that you'd frustrate the efforts, because, Lord, what's happening there, the byproducts are global, and we can suffer from it. So, Lord, I do pray tonight for deliverance for those dear people. Now, Father, bless us in our time in the Bible, and meet needs this evening, and help us all to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're looking here at one of the most popular chapters in all the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is that chapter in the Bible that is called the faith chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter of the Bible. Here's the faith chapter. Here's a chapter that I don't know how many times I've preached from Hebrews 11. I don't know how many times I've actually preached from this same passage that we're looking at tonight. But it has so much to say. It's a passage of Scripture regarding the background of Abraham, the patriarch, and his walk of faith that is not only refreshing to read about, but it's also challenging to every single one of us in this 21st century, 2022, to walk the walk of faith. I believe this evening, in spite of all of the perplexities and problems of this world, we as Christians still are to walk by faith. Amen. We still are to not allow the things that are happening all around us to cause us to be any less than a Christian who walks by faith trusting God. Now, looking at this patriarch Abraham, I will mention a few things about him this evening to help us, give us a little bit of a paved way into my message tonight. He's known as the father of the faithful. Abraham has that distinction, the father of the faithful. This man is revered by over a half of the world's population. In our day, Abraham is held in high esteem by three major groups of religious people upon this earth: the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. Those three religious entities all esteem Abraham in a very high way. In the Bible, Abraham is presented to us as a great example of a man who lived and walked by faith. James chapter 2, verse number 22, records the fact that Abraham was called the friend of God. You talking about an honor. He was called the friend of God. Name someone else in Scripture called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. A major portion of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, gives attention to Abraham. At least the first 12 chapters would reference the activities of Abraham. There are two great illustrations of faith that pertain to Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Two. Number one, when he left his land, Ur of Chaldees, and goes out to the place where God led him. He left the Ur of Chaldees. That's the first thing he did. By faith, he left the land, pagan land, where he was born. Number two, in Hebrews 11, the second great illustration of Abraham's faith was when he was willing to offer up his son Isaac. And that's recorded as well. But anyway, those two things in particular sort of leap out of the Scripture. He left the Ur of Chaldees at the age of 75. He did have his moments of declining faith from time to time. When you read the book of Genesis, you'll see that Abraham had his share of problems. He had some declining faith. He lied to Pharaoh, for example, and told him that his wife was his sister. Then he later on, he gets involved with an Egyptian handmaid by the name of Hagar, and you know the rest of that story. But he leaves the Ur of Chaldees. Years ago, when I was in Iraq, we had an opportunity to visit the Ur of Chaldees. It was a place that, during Abraham's time, was known as a major center for idolatry. And I can still even remember when we went over to the Ur of Chaldees. It's there in, there of course in Iraq. And we walked up this, there was this old structure that was still existing, that was possibly thousands of years of age. And we walked up the steps of that structure, and it was the guide told us that that was actually a center of pagan worship. It was the remains of that. In fact, I've even got a picture of it somewhere filed away. But that was the background of where Abraham lived. He lived in a center, a major hub of idolatry. Many claim to be men of and women of faith today. We know many do that. A lot of people, you know, they'll be talking. One will say to the other, "What is your particular faith group?" And they'll talk about their faith. But, you know, this evening, we all realize our spiritual security is not based upon our being a member of any particular faith group. Our spiritual security is based upon our being a member of the family of God. Amen. through salvation. So we don't go to heaven. Our hope is not built on going to heaven on the basis of our identification with the faith group. Now, as we look at this tonight, there are three major distinctives of faith that I hope that we will prayerfully try to apply. Three of them. We see here, and we're talking about Abraham. We see a leaving. That's the first thing. We see a lingering. That's the second thing. We see a looking. That's the third thing. Abraham's faith was distinguished by his leaving, his lingering, and his looking. Now let's begin to break that down just a little bit. Now verse number 8 shows us his leaving. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out, not knowing whither he went. When he went out, he was leaving. He went out from his homeland. He went out from the place of his roots. He went out from the Ur of the Chaldees. He went out. He was living in that very pagan place. He was lost. He was a man who was steeped. His whole background was given over to idolatry. He was raised in a society of people that worshiped the moon god. The moon god. In other words, the idolatry of that land was an idolatry focused upon the elements of the heavens. Like, for example, the moon. God spoke to Abraham's heart and told him to leave the land he was living in and to go to a new place. God moved on his heart and called him out. I want you to think about that this morning or this evening. We'll have a good service once I figure out what time of the day it is. I want you to think about this. His calling. God called him out. May I suggest to this evening that when you and I begin the walk of faith, the Christian life, it began with a calling. Every one of us have been called. Everyone. For one thing, we were called out of the slave market of sin. We were called from our sinful past. We were called from our condition of lostness. We were called. The moment we were called was the moment the Holy Spirit of God was convicting our hearts through the ministry of the Word of God. And that's how God calls people, through the ministry of the Word of God. You and I didn't get saved by the scenario I want to present here. We didn't wake up one morning and say to ourselves, self, today would be a good day to get right with God. We didn't get up one morning and say to ourselves, self, I think I'll get saved today. That's not how it happened. I'm thinking of Brother Paul over here. I saw Paul nodding. I'll use Paul as an example. I remember when Paul got saved. And I know Paul remembers it too. I remember visiting Paul. And I remember, in your home wasn't Paul. Paul asked God to save him. And this fella here, he's in church every time this door's open. But how did he get saved? The way every one of us got saved. The Bible that we, by the help of God's good Holy Spirit, the Lord used, he responded, knowing him as a sinner, asked God to save him. Christ came into his heart, and he had his spiritual birthday on that particular day. Now, Paul, help me out. What year was that? Do you remember? 2014. So I'm using, not to put this brother on the spot here, but I'm just trying to make a point here tonight. Abraham was called. Every person saved has been called. Again, we didn't orchestrate our salvation experience. The Spirit of God did. It is a supernatural experience. When Abraham came out of the Ur of Chaldees, it started with a call. God spoke to him, and I think too, I think the Bible bears this out. He was saved in conjunction to that event in his life when God came to him and he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, the Bible says. That's Abraham. So now, again, coming back to a lost sinner who has been called, several things can be said about that person who is in an unsaved condition. They are dead in trespasses and in sin. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. They are as dead can be. The thing about an unsaved person is, I remember years ago I used to go deer hunting in West Virginia, and I had a friend of mine, and he had this old 30-06 rifle he hunted with, and sometimes someone would show up in the deer camp and have a 30-30. And I can remember the famous statement from this guy's mouth. He said, you know, he said a 30-30 will kill a deer as dead as it'll ever be killed. He said, there's no gun that'll kill a deer any deader than with one with a 30-30. Now, y'all may not get anything out of that statement, but it kind of, what I thought about is this. I thought if you're dead, you're dead. I didn't think it's possible to be any more deader than someone else. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. And I can say tonight that every single person, before God calls them out of the slave market of sin, they're as dead can be. And that's why nothing less than God's power can wake them up. Amen. And shake them up and straighten them up. Only God's convicting power. So that's how his walk began. There had to be a leaving. That in itself lets us know about the issue of faith in his life. Had to be a leaving. He got right with God and he's willing to leave. He's willing to leave. You know, when you think about a person's state, spiritual state, prior to salvation, there's several things we can say about them. A person that's unsaved is dead, of course, spiritually dead. They're depraved. The activities of lost people, and that really doesn't contradict itself if you see it all in a spiritual way. In other words, how can you be dead and have any activities, some might think? Well, now, let's be reasonable about this. Let me ask y'all a question tonight, you know, and this will help you with that answer. Dead people don't do anything, do they? They're motionless, right? But yet now, someone help me with something here. Okay, the Bible still, though, talks about activities of unsaved people. So I guess we could say they're walking dead people. They're the walking dead. Does any verse come to your mind tonight concerning the activities of lost people? And it doesn't contradict the fact that we're dead. We're dead in terms of being able to do anything pleasing in God's sight. We're dead in terms of being able to walk in the ways of righteousness. But now we're talking, though, about the activities of unsaved people. Help me out a little bit tonight, people. On Wednesday nights, that's why I like to engage the audience, because everybody looks like they're half asleep to start with, and it kind of gets you moving a little bit here. Okay, tell me what is the activity of a lost person. What do they do? What is the difference between the activity of a lost person and the activity of a saved person? Carnality. Okay, carnality. So that is an action, though, isn't it? An act of carnality. It's still an activity. Okay, would you agree with me tonight that the actions and the activity of an unsaved person is normally a corrupt activity? That would explain, in fact, you know, when all else fails, when we try to come up with our own illustrations on issues, best thing to do always is just turn to Scripture and let the Bible plainly tell it. Here's what it is. Here's the answer. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past, that's before, you got quickened. You still did something. In times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or conduct in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were nature and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the nature of unconverted people. So it takes a calling. God has to come in. The Lord has to supernaturally change a person's life. This explains the depraved condition going on today in this world. This explains the mass murder who's killing those innocent people over in the country of Ukraine. This explains why people have hatred and bitterness and have no qualms about killing innocent people. This explains why people lust and kill and murder and rape and do all these terrible, horrendous things. It's because of a sin nature. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The biggest problem in this world today is not a crime problem. The biggest problem is not an energy problem. The biggest problem in this world today is not an ecological problem. The greatest problem in this world today is a sin problem. That's why people do what they do. It's a sin problem. And Abraham had to have a calling to come out of that mess. God can take a sinner, points him to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can point a sinner to the Savior. The conviction of the Holy Spirit leads to a conviction and calling out of the Ur of Chaldees of sin. And the sinner, just like Lot, as he fled out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he fled from the wrath to come. When Lot and his wife fled from Sodom and Gomorrah and the fire of God fell down from heaven, they literally were saved by the skin of their teeth, you might say. They fled from the wrath to come. So, note this. The key element on the part of the sinner is obedience. The Bible says Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed. That's an interesting sounding word, isn't it? Obeyed. Obeyed. Makes me want to keep saying, obeyed. You feel like you need to lower your chin. Obeyed. Some English words are right comical, aren't they? But now I ask this question tonight. Do you think it's possible for a person to disobey? To say no to God? It is. I believe there are lost people that say no to conviction. I believe there are Christians who disobey God's leadership. It's possible. Why? Because God's given us a will. We can choose. We can choose to obey or not to. What we find here about Abraham, though, is this. It says he obeyed and went out. He obeyed. Now, Romans 4:3 says, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham, when God dealt with him, responded with an act of faith. He responded by saying yes. He was not called to pray a prayer. He was not called to sign a card or join something. I was on my way to watching the news channel yesterday morning, but on the way to it, along the journey of all of the channels, you cut the TV on sometimes. It's already locked in on a certain channel, and I cut it on to find out about the news, so I had to endure a little bit of what came up on that channel. And to my interest, there was a televangelist. Saw him yesterday morning. Don't even remember his name. Don't even want to know his name. Have no use in what he had to say. But here's what he did say, though. This illustrates my point. He was asking people to send for a little glass of holy water, quote unquote holy water. And then he actually said there on TV, he was inviting people to touch the screen of that TV set and feel the anointing and be anointed. You know what you call that? You call that a bunch of junk. You call that fake news. You call that fake preaching. A person is not blessed through the medium of putting their hand on anything. Amen. They're blessed by exercising faith in God and His Word. And those people, they're getting rich off of poor people and undiscerning people who still send them money, and they'll send them a prayer cloth. I mean, if I'd have known, if I was of that sort of an individual, when I went to Israel about 4 or 5 months ago, I'd just loaded up. I brought all the gallons of holy water I could have out of the Jordan River, and I brought it back. And I'll tell you, I'd come, could you see me, couldn't you see me now? I'd come driving in a church lot in a stretch limo. I'd have somebody driving me in. I mean, I'd be rich. Those people, let me tell you something, those people are getting rich off of selling that junk, and the water's not junk. The Jordan River. I'm not saying the Jordan River is junk, but I'm telling you that theology is junk. On the Bible, on Christ alone, faith in God's Word, believing what God said, trusting the Scriptures, believing the promises, accepting the Bible, that's how we're saved, and that's how we're blessed, and that's how we grow, that's how we mature. On the Bible alone. And Abraham, God called him and said, Abraham, get out of that land. And Abraham obeyed, went out, not knowing where he was going. You know, when you read the gospel account, the disciples, Jesus called them all. He said, come follow me. Did you know come follow me is found 17 times in the gospel? Come follow me. Jesus called his people to follow him. Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. Abraham's faith was shown in his leaving. Number two, Abraham's faith was shown in his lingering. Verse 8 says, when he called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, went out, not knowing where, whither he went, but by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. That's lingering. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He did not know when he left where he'd end up, but he trusted the Lord to lead him along the right path, and that's exactly what God did. Then he got to the land, and he lingered there. But yet he proved that he was a man of faith because he regarded the land in the right way. It says there, as in a strange country. You see, faith enables us to know that we're in a strange country. Think about that. You see, when a Christian gets tangled up in this world and starts loving this world and starts getting used to it again and starts becoming home in this world again, it indicates a lack of faith, because one of the first things that Abraham knew, he was in a strange country. God's people know, that is, trusting Christians who walk by faith know, we're in a strange world. This world is strange. It's not a friend of grace. There's nothing in this world that we really need. There's nothing in this world that can really give true peace in the soul. Nothing. That proved that he was sojourning by faith. He kept seeing the world was strange. And that's the kind of people that God uses. People that aren't settled down in this world. And it says, it proves that right here. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. You see, Abraham kept pulling up his stake. He didn't settle down for long. He kept pulling up his stake. He was a man of the tent. Passing through. He lingered only in terms of knowing if the world was strange and knowing he wasn't going to be permanently here. He just lingered waiting for God to lead him to the home. I believe that was true about him. God is not looking, by the way, for people today who have everything figured out. He's looking for people today who trust him and let him direct our paths, though we can't figure them out. He's looking for people today who will let him be the Lord, who will fall in line with him and go where he leads. He's looking for people who will follow him. Sometimes the paths that he leads us are hard, but they're the best. Job says this. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Aren't you encouraged by the fact he knows the way that I take? I suppose one of the biggest discouraging elements in the Christian life is maybe those times when we get to the place to where we become baffled by what's going on and the things that we're dealing with and the things that we're facing. And sometimes if the devil can succeed, he'll blindside us a little bit. And we lose our perspective, and sometimes we might momentarily be thinking, this path is just not right. Why is a Christian having to go down this trail, having to go down this path? But then, when we will pull down deep from those reservoirs of faith within our soul, then the Spirit of God will direct us to the truth of what Job said. Then we can realize that every path that we tread along the line of God's leading is significant and important and a part of the plan, big plan that God had for us all along. Notice this, he knoweth the way that I take. When we can conclude that God knows the way that I take, then we can sleep a lot better at night with that, knowing that he knows the way that I take. Now, when Abraham, and I got to hurry here. I really have to hurry. I wish I hadn't looked at that. When Abraham arrived in the land of Canaan, he found it was occupied by wicked heathen nations. He sojourned. He knew that one day all of God's promises would be fulfilled. And then I'm going to bounce right on to the last point, because I know that you folks too know what time it is. I was hoping you wouldn't, and I was hoping I wouldn't have seen that. But we're in a pickle right now. I got to end it, right? Or do you give special lingering grace sometimes on Wednesday night for preachers that don't get through? Do y'all grant, can we take a vote? Finally, here's the thing I would have us to know. A characteristic of faith is not only leaving, lingering, knowing that where we're at is in a strange world, but looking. Verse 10, he looked for a city. I think y'all don't mind me touching a little bit on this one, do you? We're talking about a city here, right? He looked for a city. Abraham's faith was an expectant faith. It was a faith that looked beyond the here and now and embraced a time not too far in the future. He had a heavenly hope. He journeyed from place to place in Canaan, pitching his tent here, pitching his tent there, following the leadership of the Lord, but all at the same time looking for another city, another country. He had his eye on another land. He lived with his hope that sustained him, and he was positive because he knew he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He had a faith-driven, optimistic hope. That's what he had. I'll leave you with this illustration. There was a British cab driver, the news reported, went over to the Ukraine and volunteered his service, helping escort those poor people, those poor refugees out of the Ukraine. And this cab driver from Great Britain, he's there using his own cab. He's doing what a lot of other people have been doing lately. There's been mercenaries there, people volunteering to fight. Then there's been a number of other people that have been there that have just been so emotionally driven by the scenes of those poor people that they have just basically surrendered themselves to help in any way they could. So he's driving. He said this. He goes into areas and he gets as many in his cab as possible. Then he drives them back to Poland. And he said the emotions of the people are of a different sort. The people that he's driving to Poland. He said some sit in the cab and never say a thing. He said, some sit in the cab and weep. And some talk about losing everything they had. But he said, there are some that sit in the cab and still are optimistic. They talk about their new country. They talk about their new plans. They talk about beginning anew. They talk about hope for the future. And when I saw that illustration, I thought of how that comes home to where we are. We're in a strange world filled with dead and dying, sick people, suffering people, hurting people. All around us, there are people gloomy, doomy, down and out, and many rightly so, because many do not know the Lord to start with. But in the midst of this sin-affected world we're living in, there's still a group of people that still are positive. Even though all around is sick and dying and disease and pain and suffering, there are still some people that still are looking ahead. They got their eyes on a city. They're thinking about a future. They're able to handle all of the stresses and problems because their eye is on a city. Some of those people, their eye is on a country called Poland. But for us tonight, our eye is on a city. Not only is our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, but our hope is a living hope and a lively hope and a bright hope. And we do have a future. We have more in the front window mirror that we're looking through, the front window, than we have in the rearview mirror. We have more ahead than what we left behind. The future is far brighter than the past. So thank God there is a positive, encouraging, uplifting hope today for those that know the Lord. They walk by faith. We've left the land of bondage. We're to linger in this world of sin, but yet as a pilgrim status, knowing it's a strange land. But while we're lingering, we're looking. We're looking. We look unto the Lord, the hills, where cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And child of God, we need a revival today in these dark and depressing times. We need a revival today in this land on the part of God's people who will just simply walk by faith. Learn to lean on the Lord again and trust Him again. And then we can get through these issues. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation tonight to those that are here and those that are out there. Lord, there could be some people tonight in this service that just need to come to an altar and say, oh God, help me to walk by faith, to lean more on the Lord and less on my own resources, to know that this is a strange land I'm in, but yet to keep my eyes on that city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Help us, Lord, tonight, even with this Wednesday night Bible study, to get stirred up and charged and revived and encouraged, and to realize that we're just to simply trust You, believe You, and to walk by faith. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going